Blog Talk Radio.
Thanksgiving Day, full of tradition, food, family, football. Did someone say football? More live fantasy sports radio on Thanksgiving Day than anyone else on the planet. The Fantasy Sports Channel brings you some of the best from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Rick Saratella with the Fantasy Football Insiders at 8. Hoops with Hector Castro at 10. The Thundering Blurb with Andrew Garda at 10:30. Goal Line Stand with Steve Shiner at 12:30. And Fantasy Brush Up with Greg Brosh at 1. Still hungry for more? More live coverage again at 4 p.m. with Tony Cincotta and Rhett Oldham. Fantasy Baseball with Lenny Melnick at 5:30. Jason Sarney and the Fantasy Phenoms at 6. And The Expert's Edge with Ben Ice and Scott Angle at 7 p.m. The FantasySportsChannel.com. Only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a Thanksgiving you can bet on.
It's week 12 in the National Football League. The matchups are set. Fantasy Football Players Championship and the World Championship of Fantasy Football are deciding their league champions. This is Do or Die. Jets, Titans.
One bleeds red and one bleeds blue. Two friends. One heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Hey, let's go!
On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio with your host Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Everyone, and good evening. Welcome to another primetime edition of Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio. Wherever you may be, thanks for making us part of your night. This is a big week 12. Listeners are always encouraged to join the fun in the live chat room. Call us live or be a part of the show by dialing 347-324-5404. I'm your host, Scott Atkins, broadcasting live out of Indianapolis. I'm Team Legacy in the world of high-stakes fantasy football. I'm a diehard Louisville fan and the number one in the AFC East New York football Jets. I'm a fan. Thank you very much. Tonight and always, I'm joined by my Big Blue co-host. It's an honor to present over the waves of the online world a great friend of mine from good old Brandenburg, Kentucky, Michael Trent. Mike, what a snooze fest we had last night.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Scott, that was something else with Cincy and Pittsburgh. But from a fantasy point, I mean, it was really bad. There's a lot of people out there that they love to have Hines Ward and didn't quite get it done. And Ben Roethlisberger, he got some points. But, you know, I saw this game coming. The Steelers have yet to really impress. And the Bengals, well, they're what they are. They're boring. it was pretty ugly, but I'm going to take a second real quick because this has been bugging me, and I'll talk to you throughout the week, and I've got to get it off my chest. Donovan McNabb said there's he didn't understand a tie. So he's telling these group of press people that, well, is there a tie? Is there a tie in the NFL? You know, at first I thought he was being kind of comical and like, well, you know, the Bud Selig thing in baseball. But he knew what he was talking about. He did not understand a tie. And that is so sorry that this guy that plays in the NFL does not understand that there may be a tie happening, because he was ready. He was ready. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And here's another one. Big Ben Roethlisberger, steps up to the plate and goes, well, there's 50% of the players in this league that doesn't know that there could be a tie. Give me a break, guys.
Wow.
Come on. I mean, that's a freaking joke. And it's staggering to see that these guys don't understand the rules. But speaking of the rules, I want to go to Commissioner Goodell, because I am really sick and tired of this guy sticking his head in and levying fines left and right for NFL football players. This is a National Football League. It's not for ladies, NFL. It's a National Football League. These guys are making hits left and right. The hit on Holmes Thursday night was incredible. I'm not looking for guys to get hurt. Don't get me wrong. But I love to see good hits. But it seems like Commissioner Goodell is just wanting to stick his nose in and say, okay, you're fined $10,000 for this. You're fined $25,000 for this. You're fined $20,000 for this. I am sick and tired of it. Let the guys play football. Let's have fun with it.
And, yeah, I fell in love with that jacked up segment. What would we do without the jacked up segment?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it
was a lot of fun. But
we love doing this show for everybody. What we ask you, the listener, to do, sign up for a free account on Blog Talk Radio. You know, join our chat room. It's full house tonight. Sometime during the week, come back, click on last week's show, rate it for us. That feedback is always valuable to us. Don't forget, we also can be heard on iTunes Radio, so just open up your iTunes, click on Radio in the upper left-hand corner. It's a great way to pass the time, and you'll see Blog Talk Sports. You can also download it as a podcast, listen to it in your car, whatever. Also, remember, we have the toolbar. You can download it and the new browser. Check them out, guys. It's got scrolling player stats, et cetera. You can dream your show. We can stream our show right from there, and you know, while you surf the web. So check us out. Now, as always, listeners are encouraged, again, to call in and ask for lineup advice, and can reach the show at any time by calling 347-324-5404, or come on in and join the live chat room, and then fire away with some questions there. We've got Lance in the room. We've got Cake Fear from NFFC. We've got a lot of good guys in there that are already some good discussion shot callers in there. They're all trying to make their a good impression in that league championship game this week, in either the Fantasy Football Player Championship or to win the big one in the World Championship of Fantasy Football. It's just a real important week. This week we have a special guest, Mr. Billy Wasoski. He's darn near famous in fantasy sports circles, I'll just say that, as well as the co-owner of the Fantasy Football Players Championship, the guru, Alex Kaganovsky, with his player props. Mike, I don't know how else to say it. He's simply on fire. Unfortunately for all of us, we did lose our Survivor Island segment. Our team, led by John Wright from Indianapolis, is now out thanks to the Philadelphia Eagles, McNabb, and the tie. It was so brutal. Mike, John did great all season. We were really proud of him. We were rooting for him. But I think we both wanted him to use those Colts last week.
Yes. You know, Scott, we tried to kind of tell him, say, come on, John, let's take the Colts, take the Colts, take the Colts. But sometimes you go with your gut feeling, and, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, we could look back on it, and, you know, he could have been a winner, and we could have been a loser, because, let's face it, I took the Colts in my little local league out of 40 people, and Houston gave them all they could handle. So, you know, it's just kind of a, well, who knows and what could happen and that type thing, but you know, I'm sorry to see John is out, because that's a heck of a lot bigger thing than what I'm in. But I went ahead and took Pittsburgh this week in my fantasy, Survivor. But we'll touch on that later. But you know, 12 weeks ago and counting, and I tell you what, I'm bragging a little bit because I've never been in that situation. So, and the other two competitors took Denver this week. But you know, Scott, Billy Wise is coming up, and I'm looking forward to it because I don't know if you remember my first year getting into high stakes fantasy football.
Yeah.
You and I, we were in there together, and Billy Wise, he was the man. He was the man that we were going up against. So I'm looking forward to it, Scott.
Yep, we're really excited to have him on, and I remember that season well. And we've got we've definitely want to pick his brain about that contest. Before we get to last week, last night's game, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, you have Ocho Stinko, he deactivated. What a waste of a pick. That just goes to show you, Mike, you never burn a high pick on a head case entering the season. You just don't do it.
No. No, it's pretty bad. I mean, but you know what? We've all been down that road, and what a long and dangerous road it is. Randy Moss, hey, he's hurt you. Chad Johnson, Ocho, Cinco, whatever he wants to go by, he's hurt you. Terrell Owens, I mean, let's face it, a lot of head cases in football has hurt you. Why is it mostly wide receivers? I mean, running backs get hurt, but it seems like it's mostly wide receivers in your draft, in the fantasy football, they tend to hurt you. These are the things that high-stakes players want to do. Take that chance on that high-risk, high-profile player. It doesn't work. And Billy Walls is coming up, and maybe he can give us some insight on what kind of news, what kind of stuff that we can do. But it's very difficult to, take that high-profile player when you got a Wes Welker sitting in the wings, or Greg Camarillo, or Roddy White. You know, there's a lot of players out there that can help your team out without hurting you by taking a high-profile and high-risk player. I mean, you know, that's my take on it, Scott.
Yep, give me a Wes Welker any day with somebody that you know you're not going to have a problem with, and you just can't risk it. When there's this much money at stake, you just can't risk it. Hey, we do have a caller from the 914. Looks like they've been holding a couple of minutes. Let's see what you got. Caller from the 914.
Yeah, hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good.
Yeah, hey, you know, I've had some interesting fantasy. I've been playing fantasy football for a long time, and, you know, I agree with, you get guys who high profile, big mouths, and you know what? They don't do any good for you. You know, go with the solid, steady guys every year, and you'll always do better. But this week on Monday night, I had an interesting thing happen to me. I was going for my league championship, and I didn't really have a chance, and what happened was I had Marshawn Lynch, which was behind by 33 points, and a guy I was going against was ahead of me, had Lee Evans, and I scored 33.7.
Wow.
I'm in the championship. You know what? I would have been happy. A lot of things have happened over the years, you know, good karma, bad karma. I'm sitting in the championship game in my league on a fluke. You know? Amazing.
So you had Marshawn Lynch, and the guy you were playing had Lee Evans.
And I was behind by exactly 33 points. You know what? It wasn't until yesterday when the game started and it Wyckoff that I actually believed I was in the championship game.
Oh, right. It's too good to be true.
Yeah, guys. You know what? You guys do a great job. I love your show. Listen to it every week. And thanks for everything. You give great tips. You guys know what's going on. And, by the way, go.
Well, we appreciate you calling in. What else do you have on your team?
You know what? Last night, you know, I got hurt by injuries all year long, managed to get through. But I had Willie Parker, and he just has not done, you know, hasn't done anything for me this year.
Right.
He's been tough, but you know what? The stud of the year has been, as far as I'm concerned, is Anquan Boldin. I draft him every year, and I'm never disappointed.
Good.
I've got Anquan, and I've got Reggie Wayne, who's a solid guy. You know, draft solid guys. You know, on paper in my championship game, I have no chance, but, you know, this is fantasy football.
Well, that's going to be a memory that lives with you forever on fantasy football. Down 33 with Marshawn Lynch against
that's
Lee
great.
Evans, and you pull out the game. That's amazing. Thanks for sharing that story. That's that was JB Galt from the World Championship of Fantasy Football. We saw that story surface on the World Championship of Fantasy Football message boards this week, and that's cool that he called in on the show and let everybody in the world hear about that. That's just one of those amazing stories, Mike, that you're never going to duplicate.
You know, that's something else, because we talk about things, you know, when it becomes like Sunday afternoon at 7:45 or Sunday night at 8:45, and then next thing you know, it's Monday night at 11:45. The 45, for whatever reason, Scott, it always sticks in my brain, because so many games have been won and lost at that moment. It's like, oh, my gosh, did I start the right player? Did I do the right thing? And, you know, that's what we're going to be able to do, and help all the listeners out to you know, help them out and do the right thing.
We've already got Sports Betting Man in the chat room. He's got three solid starters in Braylon, Royal, and Bo. Royal's got a great matchup this week. Solid starters there. And it looks like he's saying he has Matt Jones or Sammy Morris or Deuce or Mark Bradley as his flex, and he needs two of those.
Two of those between who? Braylon?
Well, no, he's got Braylon, Royal, and Bo. Well, so he can't start two wide receivers there. Bradley's a question mark, but I think he is going to go. And then you've got Matt Jones, which, again, that's another question mark. Sammy Morris is just in a three-headed beast right now with Ben Jarvis,
like
Green Ellis, Falk. And then Deuce McAllister has got huge question marks over his head. I don't know.
I'll go
with
Matt Jones.
I think the news is getting worse on Deuce McAllister, while the news gets, I guess you could call it a little bit better with Reggie Bush. I don't know if you can call that better or not. You sit there and you practice on Thursday, and then Friday
you don't practice at all. Yeah, I know. That's pretty tough. You practice on Thursday, you don't practice on Friday. You know, the NFL and the coaches, I think they're kind of taking the Belichick school of thought. Is like, okay, well, I'm not really going to tell you what's going to happen, but here's what's going to happen. Next thing you know, on Sunday, bam, you're stuck. Matt Jones, I think, would be a safe play. Deuce McAllister, don't know. And Sammy Morris, a lot of those, they're very risky. They're very risky plays. And it's very hard to figure out on that one. Does he have anybody else that could fill in, Scott? I mean, I don't know.
It's just, we're trying to help out the chat room guys as much as we can. You've got some really tough decisions to make. You know, you've got Reggie Bush. Like I said, he was a limited participant on Thursday, and then he sits out Friday after the knee injury. Just doesn't look good. I think you're gonna have to go Pierre Thomas, unless you have both of them, and you can wait right till game time, kind of like the Portis and Betts thing as it unfolded throughout the week. Burns missed practice Thursday because of this hamstring injury that he got in his sleep. Coughlin was short when he was discussing this injury, and he just said, you know, time's going to tell whether he plays against the Cardinals. If he plays, he's got a great matchup, but it's just the question marks that you have. Burris had 35 catches, or he has 35 catches, and he caught 15 of those the first two games. So, I mean, he's just disappeared. You talk about a guy that skyrocketed the draft board, because he played on that Thursday night game, and we all pushed him up into the end of the second, early in the third, with potential that we could be watching the very best player, wide receiver in the league, and we just kind of knew it was going to come down to earth. But he hasn't caught more than three passes in the last five games, grabbing a total of 13 for 137 yards and two touchdowns over that span. So, gosh, I don't know. It's just what a mess that is. Brady Quinn, he broke his right index finger in the first half of that Monday night win. he is going to try to play Sunday against the Texans. And, I mean, obviously if you're playing against the Texans, it's going to be a nice matchup. They say that opposing quarterbacks have a over 100 rating when they play Houston. So you've definitely got to throw him in there if he's an option. What else we got in the chat room going here? RC Techies from he's everywhere this year. In the WCFF League Championship, Mike, he needs to start three. Okay, I'm going to give them to you.
All right.
He's got Andre Johnson, Lance Moore, Randy Moss, Kevin Curtis, and Mark Bradley. Which three should he play there?
You know what? I'm looking at that, and I saw it on the chat room, which I hope there's a lot of people out there that will enjoy the chat room because it's a lot of fun. You know, it's hard to go against Andre. He needs to start three, correct?
Yep.
It's hard to go against Andre, and it's Lance Moore has been so explosive. I just don't see how you can – who's that fifth one?
You have Mark Bradley.
That's it.
And he had Kevin Curtis.
You know, you got to start Andre, obviously. And, you know, with Houston, you know, playing the way they're playing, they're looking for things. And Sage Rosenfels is, I mean, he's looking for things. So they're expecting something to happen at Cleveland. And I would expect them to probably be playing from behind. So that tells me Andre Johnson gets, 100 yards and a touchdown for sure. And the bonus plan is right there for you. As far as New Orleans are playing at home against Green Bay, Green Bay's been playing pretty tough, but Lance Moore and Drew Brees, they've always been able to hook up. So I would say Andre Johnson, Lance Moore, and can you throw out Randy Moss? I don't think you can, you know, in that type situation because maybe him and him and Castle, they're getting comfortable. That's just the way I look at it, Scott.
Yeah, it's hard. Anytime you have those big-time names when they're just not performing well, you go through this agony when you just sit them on your bench. You want to do it, but there's something in you that just says, man, I'm trying to win this thing, and I could be giving up a 30-point game. And I think we're all guilty of overanalyzing. And, you know, in that situation, nobody's going to fault you for leaving Moss on the bench the way it's been working out, but – if it happens, you know, you're going to feel really bad. You're going to feel really bad, and almost I'm always playing that emotional game with this thing. And I tell you, I'd feel a lot worse leaving Moss on my bench and him scoring 30 than I would, you know, Mark Bradley going off for 25 against, you know, Buffalo. Now, interesting about that game, I think Terrence McGee is going to be matched up on Dwayne Bowe. So that should make things a little easier for Bradley, but he's dinged up a little bit. So you're gonna have to watch that injury report. I don't have that in front of me, but I think I'm consensus with Mike. You can't bench Lance Moore. You can't bench Andre. So you're down to one, and then it comes down to Moss, Curtis, and Bradley. So,
well, Scott, the one thing that you're talking about benching studs and benching your all stars, I did that last week. I benched Brandon Jacobs against Baltimore. Two touchdowns right away. And, you know, so you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the only reason I benched Jacobs was he was going up against Baltimore. So I'm thinking, well, he's not going to score a touchdown.
He won't
get nothing done. But, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. And so, you know, it's a dice game, and it takes a little bit of just studying it, but don't overanalyze it. Just go and go with Scott and Mike, and we can't steer you wrong.
Yeah, it's too important of a week to overanalyze. And like I said, the emotional part of this game can't be overlooked. You're going to feel, I can't stand it when you leave those points on the bench, and then it takes you a couple weeks to let it go. Mike, we always want to look at the targets for the week. Last week, Bolden, Braylon, Bowe, and Husmanzada all led the league with 16 targets. That's some big time. It's a big time week of the wide receiver last week. Larry Fitzgerald and Ben Watson had 14. Marvin Harrison and Avery Johnson, both on my bench, or Donnie Avery, I'm sorry, Marvin Harrison and Donnie Avery, both on my bench in the World Championship of Fantasy Football. They had 13 targets, and I started Antonio Bryant, who had a touchdown called back. And then Kevin Curtis and Hines Ward, both with 12. You know, they've that was just the week of the wide receiver. Okay, we've got another question in the chat room here. Let's see if I don't want to miss it. We've got, McNabb or Favre. McNabb or Favre. Favre's playing the Titans, and the Ravens are taking on the Eagles. Wow, that's some tough matchups. That's from Show, 99ers, and FFPC. I don't know if that's his quarterback there, but I'm going to go Favre.
Well, the fact that McNabb does not know that there's a tie in the NFL means that they could play forever. But, no, in all seriousness, that's going to be very tough against Baltimore. That Baltimore defense, I mean, they are living for this. They're living to go play against Pittsburgh eventually. And, you know, that's going to be very tough. What was that?
It was Favre against the Titans.
Ooh, boy.
That's just a real tough matchup.
Yes,
McNabb has thrown 5 picks in the last 3 games after just throwing 3 in the first 7. He's never been particularly accurate. He's completed 60%+ of his attempts in just 2 of the last 6 games. In the past 5 games, the Ravens have allowed 6 passing touchdowns while intercepting 8 passes, and they run a complicated blitz scheme. I don't think McNabb will be ready for that. So rather than breaking down the Favre matchup, I think you just play Favre by default.
What did Baltimore give up last week?
That's a good question.
They were giving up the run, the pass, everything.
Yeah, Baltimore gave up a nice game to Eli. Eli 153, 1 touchdown and a pick. And then the Giants just rolled all over the best defense in the league. Bradshaw, 9 carries, 96 yards. Jacobs, 11 carries, 73 yards. It went on and on and on. What a game for the G-men. They just keep rolling.
Yeah.
Man, we've got a lot of stats to break down, but I tell you what, I just want to get to our callers and our special guest. We said we had an unbelievable guest on the show this week with a track record in a contest that you and I have both struggled to find our groove in, Mike. Now, I'm not bragging here, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. Listen to this list of accomplishments. Last week, our guest guaranteed his 4th NFFC championship appearance in 5 years. That's the National Fantasy Football Championship. 2004, he was 13th overall. 2006, 14th overall. 2007, 19th overall. And who knows where he's going to be in 2008. Currently, he's the lifetime standings overall points leader in the NFFC, and we're happy to have him on Red versus Blue. Billy Wasowski. Billy, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing tonight?
What's up, Billy? I'll tell you what. I remember meeting you in Chicago for the NFFC. First time.
Two years ago.
Yeah. Heck yeah. And, man, it's awesome to see what you're doing.
I appreciate it. Appreciate being on. I enjoyed your show last week.
Well, we appreciate having you. Billy, I posted this on the board for all to see, but for those who didn't see it, you're in 4 championship games riding for a total purse. This is $12,500 coming up this week if he wins all 4. Now, even if you lose all 4, you're still going to win $3,650, so that's not a bad deal.
Not too bad. Big swing in big swing there, though, of course, so it'll be a little stressful. And, you know, hopefully maybe I can just split the difference in about $7,000 or
$8,000. It'd be nice. Man, that'll be a nice Christmas.
Hey, Billy, go for the big one, man. Get it done.
Well, that's what I'd like to do myself. I'm playing a pretty strong team, though. We're pretty evenly matched. He's got a lot of nice matchups. And, you know, you put your best players out there that you can, and you see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, Billy, who do you have starting this week?
In the Wyckoff, Maine, I have Kurt Warner, Thomas Jones. My running back, too, has been a a thorn in my side all year, but I'm going to be starting Peyton Hillis this week. Receivers, sure. I have Jericho Cotchery, Roddy White, Dwayne Bowe, Brandon Marshall. And tight end is Tony Gonzalez. And kicker, I'm a little iffy on. I'm still waffling on that one a little bit. And my defense is Chicago.
Wow, Scott. What do you think about that, Scott?
Wait a minute.
Well, Trey Billy.
You were going kind of fast there. You hit on Warner.
Yeah.
Your running backs are Thomas Jones and Peyton Hillis?
Correct.
Okay. Then you said Cotchery, Roddy White, Bowe, and Marshall?
Yes.
Okay, so you went. Did you go four wide receivers right out of the gate?
I went Marshall and Fitz. I picked from the 12, and I took Fitzgerald and Marshall. And then the 3-4 turn, I took Thomas Jones and Cotchery. And the 5-6, I took Roddy White and Gonzalez. So, in all honesty, it's probably one of the first drafts I've ever had where I've pretty much nailed my first six.
You don't have Dwayne Bowe.
Oh, no. I don't have Bowe. I'm sorry. White, Cotchery, Fitzgerald, and Marshall. Those four.
Okay. All right, gotcha. Yeah, because I was having a hard time fitting that in myself. Man.
Yeah. No, I don't.
You were going out of the 12th spot, and you basically kind of drafted really conservative, the way it sounds, Billy, and you just made it happen, and you put a lot together. And how much have you gotten out of the waiver wire?
Nothing. Peyton Hillis.
Really?
I drafted Warner, Gonzalez, obviously, I drafted Chicago's defense. I really didn't get much off the waiver wire at all. I really haven't had the need for it. Luckily, I've avoided some injuries this year, especially with the main guys. Thomas Jones has been great. He was a little slow out of the gate, but he's been fantastic lately. A little worried about this weekend, but I can't sit him. And,
right.
Yeah, things have worked out. Things,
Well, with that lineup, you're sitting there always waiting for a RB2 maybe to come out of nowhere.
Exactly.
And
really haven't been. Yeah. Right.
We never got the Ernest Grahams and Ryan Grants to come out of the woodworks, and that doesn't happen very often anyway. But man. And you took Marshall with the 13th pick there, and he was missing a week, so that was kind of ballsy.
Yeah. It was, there were a few snickers at the draft table when I did that.
That was really
Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne's probably right up there with him, but I passed on Wayne. It was a risk, but I know what Brandon Marshall's capable of. Again, he's another one this weekend I'm a little concerned about, just because Osamago might be locked up on him, and my opponent actually has Eddie Royal. So so we'll see
what
happens.
That's how it happens this late in the game. You're gonna be matched up against a good team no matter what. So
absolutely.
Billy, I tell you what, we've struggled, Mike and I, we've struggled in the 14-team format in the NFFC, and we didn't want to give up this year. We really wanted to stick around for NBC. We had prior commitments, but we really wanted to try the 12-teamer because that's what we're used to playing. But the 14-team NFFC event has really been a thorn in our side, and you've been really successful there. So, hey, I've got you on the show. What would you say the main difference is when drafting in those 14-teamers? There's got to be some form of advice or something you can give Mike and I. We have yet to make the playoffs in that format.
Honestly, just by nature, the 14-teamer is going to be harder, obviously, because you have two more teams. The talent gets spread a little thin, et cetera. But when you're talking, at the end of the sixth round in a 14-teamer, that's, there's 84 picks completed. And after the seventh round in the 12-teamer, it's 84 picks. So basically, generally we're starting 10 positions, counting the flex, and, we're not counting kicker and defense, really. So you got to fill out eight. And it basically, I've always said this about a 12-teamer. When you have a 12-teamer, you can put a good team together if you nail your first eight picks. You can put a great team where you can have a great person in each position, et cetera. In a 14-team league, you're going to have a hole somewhere. I think it's inevitable. You're going to have a hole, and it depends where you want that hole. And I've been very fortunate that all the years I've been successful there, I've drafted my quarterback late every year.
Okay.
I mean, I took Warner this year in the seventh. I took the year I was in with you guys, I actually had Vic and Bledsoe, and for the first, I believe it was 5 weeks when they were both playing, I played the wrong quarterback every week.
That is a memory, man. So, holy cow.
Yep. Yeah, so you pretty much solidified the running back wide receiver position and just waited on the quarterback until round 6, 7, 8?
Exactly. Tight end, it kind of, I mean, every draft, you kind of have to just go with the flow, and you guys know that. You can come in with a game plan, and it's good to have a plan, but I've never been in the draft where the plan has gone exactly like I thought. Never. The year I was in with you guys is a perfect example. I took my first round pick, I took Rudy Johnson. My second round pick, I took Brian Westbrook. Third round came around, I don't know if you guys remember that draft, but there were a ton of receivers flying off the board.
Was that the year we took Peyton in the first?
Andre.
No, I'm just thinking, was that the year when we were with Billy, was that the year we took Peyton in the first, or this year we took Tiki over Steven Jackson?
I'm not sure who you guys had that year. I know you had Tiki Barber.
Okay.
We took Tiki.
Four running backs. I think you guys took four running backs with your first six or something.
Yeah.
Tiki, Portis. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, but basically, I had my two running backs. You know, I'm looking for a receiver. Well, we get to the third round. There's no receivers on the board. I liked Frank Gore. So I said, all right, I'll take a running back. I mean, the problem that you kind of pen yourself in there is you've taken three running backs, and, you know, if you want to take a fourth and a bargain comes out later, you really can't do that because, I mean, you can, but you're looking at a guy who's sitting on your bench. You know, you can't play him for 5 weeks.
You're exactly right, Billy. And there's a lot of people out there that hope you're listening to what he's saying, because there's a lot of substance in what Billy's saying, because it makes sense. It makes sense. And you have a plan in place when you go into a draft, and then when you come out of it, it's totally different.
Yep, you got to adjust on the fly. That's pretty much what it is. So,
well, Billy, I was gonna ask you what's the more important position to get. I think you answered my question. I was gonna ask you, in NFFC, is it a top five guy at tight end or quarterback that makes a bigger difference?
I think you have to have a quarterback in the NFFC. Whether you get him in the first round or you get him in the eighth round, you have to have a quarterback to win, especially with the 6 points per touchdown over there. Those two extra points per touchdown, it does make a bit of a difference. I believe you have to have a quarterback to win. I've seen teams do it without him. I'm not saying you can't. My personal philosophy is you have to have a quarterback to win there, or you're going to have a difficult time competing with everybody. When everybody's putting up, you know, 15 to 20 a week and you're putting up 10 to 15, it's going to make a difference. Tight end is a position you either go for one of the big guys as usual, or you back off and you take one later and you take a stab at somebody. Pretty much that's the way I've always done it.
You're listening to Billy Wasosky, the number one player in the world in the National Fantasy Football Players Championship. Billy, you want to stick around and help a few guys out with Who Do I Start?
Sure, absolutely. I'd love to.
Okay, we've got a caller from 816. 816, you're on.
Hey, it's Tony Sinclair from Fantasy Football Facts. How you guys doing?
Awesome. What you got?
What I got is what I'm looking at. I want to know, and Bill, you know, I play the only league I'm doing real bad in this year is the $1,300 NFFC league, because I took a quarterback in the first round, and you guys all know who that is. But my question is, what do you think in leagues that we should have total points or head to head? It's a big debate in one of the leagues that I'm in.
Bill, you want to handle that one?
I've always been a person who, and I'm saying this, I'm 11-0 right now in the NFFC. If you look at my points against, it's absolutely pathetic. I'm playing teams every week and they're scoring 70 to 80 points, and I'm scoring, you know, whatever, 130, and it looks really bad because people are like, oh, you know, and it always, to me, comes down to points. Points will prevail. Points will show who the best team is in the league over the long haul. Head-to-head's important. Don't get me wrong. It is important. You need it, because if you don't have head-to-head, you're going to lose a lot of people real quick. And most, let's face it, most people that get the new people that are coming into the high-stakes arena, that's what they're used to. The winners of their leagues play head-to-head. I've played in total points leagues with no head-to-head at all, and they just don't have the same pizzazz as the other leagues. So They're both important, but as far as determining who the better teams are, and that's one reason I really like the NFFC, is because if you win the head-to-head and you win the total points, then you win the whole prize for your league. If you don't win both, then there's a playoff for 3 weeks, and that determines the team. So, but I think total points is more important, personally.
Thanks for the thing. Bill, I think I play against you in a DC league, and first time I ever played that, and I love it, absolutely.
Yeah, DCs are great, aren't they? You don't have to do anything.
Great show, guys.
Well, thanks a lot for calling.
Thanks a lot.
I'll tell you, he brought up an interesting question, and we like to play those leagues that have that combination of total points and head-to-head. I think it's really important to recognize both, because if you don't, first of all, head-to-head, if you don't have head-to-head, it's just a boring league. I've been in those total points satellites, and, man, you could be sitting up there in the top four or the bottom four, and either way, it's really boring. So,
yeah.
Now, granted, with this much money in line, it's nice to get and engage who the best is. But you know what? Head-to-head is a big part of the fun factor in fantasy football, and that's why we all got in this thing. We like to gamble, but we also like to have fun. And there's that little element of being able to root against guys that's just as big of an appeal as rooting for guys that are on your team. And if you don't have that, I mean, well, to be honest with you, I'm always rooting against everybody except for my guys, so it doesn't really matter. But it's nice to have an enemy list, somebody that you're just really rooting against. And without head-to-head, I don't think you have that. And,
well, I'll tell you what, Scott, right now, we've got an enemy list right now. I mean, we've got in the NFFC, we've got three, four teams that, honestly, we don't want to win. And we've got one particular team we want to win. So,
yeah, we're rooting for him big time. Team
Welp. We're rooting for Mike Welp big time. If you're out there, Mike Welp, we're rooting for you, buddy. But,
right.
I mean, that's part of it. That's part of it. And that means a lot to the fantasy football community, and to make it just keep being strong is root for one or another or root against.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, Scott.
Well, I tell you what, I think we also got another question in the chat room here. DeSean Jackson or Vincent Jackson? And that comes from Shodan in the chat room, and both of those have vicious matchup. Philly against Baltimore, DeSean against or Vincent against the Colts. Bill, you want to tackle that one?
Oh, boy. That is, yeah. I mean, DeSean Jackson really hasn't done much the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. So,
yeah.
Vincent Jackson alone, just the one thing I do like about Vincent Jackson, he is, you know, he's big, decent red zone target. I mean, I know they like to go to Gates down there, too. But
right.
I'd probably lean towards Vincent Jackson, but it's not a slam dunk, that's for sure.
Yeah, good comments from the boys in the chat room. He says there's no Bob Sanders. They're going to need to commit to stopping LT and Gates, and they're going to be playing from behind. The thing I think about, since I live here in Indy, the Colts secondary, obviously Bob Sanders is a question, but they're both of their Tim Jennings and Kelvin Hayden, they're both hurting with hamstring. Backups are Nick Grahams and Dante Hughes. They're both 5'10". Okay, so when the Chargers get close, it's not going to be a surprise to see the lob pass in the direction of Floyd. You've got Vincent Jackson, who's 6'5". I think that's a show. If I can help you at all, I think that's Vincent Jackson. But to get back to the other point that we have with leagues, that you know, total points and head-to-head, I think the Fantasy Football Players Championship kind of tackled that this year when they came up with their contest, and we've got Alex Kaganovsky back with us this week, the guru. It's time for our weekly player prop. Alex, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
What's going on, Alex?
Hey, Mike.
We're
hey,
ready
Alex.
For some good ones, buddy.
Yeah, he's hot. He's on fire. Another 3-0 week for the guru. Puts him at 11-4. Now, Alex, before we get to the props, the FFPC playoffs start this week. What's going on over there?
Well, we had four teams in every league qualify for the playoffs, and it's a two-week playoffs where the one seed plays the four seed, the two plays the three, and the winners play each other the following week for the championship. So yesterday, I guess, was the game one, and it's pretty exciting. Looking at the standings, actually, it was interesting to note that of our top 44 teams, 44 out of 180 teams all made their respective league championship playoffs. Well, one of the four seeds. So that was pretty it looked like the system worked really well, where you don't have any teams being left out of the top. Well, in this case, 44.
Right, and how many leagues do we fill in FFPC this year?
15.
15. So that means if the top 44, yeah. So you've got good representation if the top 44 are all making the league championship weeks. So
yeah. Well, the reason why I bring it up is because all the time there's always in these big contests there's always controversy about well I finished the top 20 and I finished in the other leagues. I mean there's more teams, but they could say I finished in the top 15 or top 20% or. Or, I was, my team was so strong, but I didn't nearly even make the championship game. But in the FFPC, with the four teams making the playoffs, it pretty much allowed all the teams that the deserving teams, let's put it this way, to move on and to at least have a chance at the league championship and some more money.
Well, we're having a blast there, Alex, and I was fortunate enough to make the league championship against one of my good friends, Ollie, a.k.a. Radballs, a.k.a. Army of Darkness. He's had a good week. We both had, I think, high score last week, and it's been a tough league. RC Techie's in my league, fierce, just really fell apart those last 2 weeks, man. I was sorry to see that he didn't make our league championship four-pack there because he had a great team, and he went with the tight end strategy. I saw a lot of guys try that where they went real heavy at tight end because of the 1.5 PPR. I mean, he took Gates and Winslow and Gonzo, I think. I mean, it was a real strong force at tight end. Thought that might work.
Don't be too modest, Scott. I mean, the last 2 weeks, I mean, what did you score, about 180 a week to take down the second seed in the playoffs?
Yeah, we caught fire at the right time, man. We also left Keller on our bench, so we could have popped over 200 if we'd have done it right. But we're not complaining.
Oh, I feel so bad for you. Oh, you left Keller on the bench. Oh, and you only scored 180 instead of 200, and you still made the championship. Oh, I feel so.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, Alex.
Not complaining.
we got a pretty good chance. First off, we had one team that didn't need to get points last night. They didn't. So there's a lot of work to be done, but we're not giving it up. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, the other thing is Billy still on there? Billy,
yeah,
there,
Alex. Yeah, hey. How you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing, Billy? Well, you're one of the long lists of one of the most accomplished fantasy players that are on this show. So, and I'd like to formally invite you next year to join the FFPC, and hopefully you could take down some of these league championships, and this way you could have some extra loot.
How about that?
I was doing the Wyckoff auction this year, which was a total disaster for me that night, and I'm actually in one of your DCs, your satellites.
Yes, I do. I know that. Yeah. How you doing there?
So,
hey, Scott. How about that on Red versus Blue? How about that on Red versus Blue, getting two of the best together? And a formal challenge. I love that. That's great.
Well, it's not a challenge. It's an invitation. I've been playing the NFFC. I've known Billy, maybe not personally, but I've known of his play for, 5 years now?
Sure.
Yeah.
And I know he jumped over to Wyckoff the last couple of years. Is it 1 year or 2 years? Is this your first or second year?
This is my first year.
First, yeah.
Let's bring him back. Let's bring him back and let's do it.
Yeah, and hopefully next year. So I'll be rooting for you. I'll be rooting for your for you to take down the LCG. This way you could come on over to the FFPC.
I hear you. If I don't take it down, I don't know if I'll go back to Wyckoff. I'm not crazy about the payoff for the LCG, but you take what you get, I guess.
Yeah.
It's always the ultimate prize we're after. So, well, Alex, you had another big week, 3-0. You hit on the let's review those picks for everybody. Jacobs under 84.5. I don't know how you hit that one. Jennings over 4 receptions and a Westbrook no score for plus 200. 3-0 on the week. And the bookie, has he turned you off yet?
Surprisingly, I was 11-4 on the week. And I believe that's my fifth consecutive winning week in a row, and substantially winning, around 60-70% winning percentage. So I don't know. He's still keeping me around. I guess he still thinks I'm just either hot or lucky, and I'm going to prove him wrong on both counts.
All right. Well, let's get to the picks for this week.
And by the way, I would like to announce that I no longer wish to be known as the guru. I would like to be known as the prop-nostigator. The prop-nostigator.
How about? Okay, Alex. Whatever you want, buddy. If you keep plugging these winners, you be called whatever you want to be called.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you keep
making us this Christmas cash that we need. So what you got now?
All right. So I got my first play is our friend Slayton on what's his first name? The running back Slayton. Steve Slayton. Oh my God. Steve Slayton on Houston. The over under on his rushing attempts is 16.5. I'm going to take the under. Under 16.5 rushing attempts, minus 15 cents. I believe he's only gone over 70 or gone over 60 once the entire year. I know he's complained about having a bruised chest this week. And Green, Amon Green, that is, has been getting some more playing time and taken away from Slayton. So I'm going to roll with under 16.5 rushes. I think that's a good play there.
Yeah, I think his carries should remain about the same. His yardage might be a little down. You know, we're just trying to figure out what kind of Browns team is going to be showing up. I don't know who has something to play for, but they do have a big big defensive line there. So we'll see what his chances are. But
before making that call, I appreciate it, Alex. But before making that call, Steve Slayton, he's been noted to run for a 71-yard carry against Indy, and then earlier in the year, a 65-yard carry, just bam, just right away.
Well, the beauty of this play here is under 16.5 rushes is I really don't care if he goes off for 30 yards or for 200 yards. I'm just concerned about the rushing attempt. So, and
there you go.
Yep.
There you go. I like
it. My second play is Maurice Jones-Drew. The bet is will he not score a touchdown in the first half? And I will say that he will not score a touchdown in the first half. I have to lay 30 cents on this play. I always like these particular plays when they tell you whether they ask you to decide whether a player will or will not score a touchdown in the first half. I mean, it's bad enough, you know, it's hard enough to score a touchdown in the entire game, but when it's a choice of scoring in the first half or, you know, the second half, usually it's the first half. But I'm always going to take the under there. So Maurice Jones-Drew playing Minnesota. I think they only are allowed 8 touchdowns on the ground the entire year.
Right.
I'm going to lay the 30 cents, and I'm going to take Maurice Jones-Drew there to not score.
Yep, and I looked at that stat right there, and 8 touchdowns all year, and you're only having to play for one half. I like that, so I'd lay the 30 as well. Okay, and pick number three?
Pick number three, I'm going to roll with your friend, Scott, the tight end from Baltimore, Todd Heap.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Sorry. Sorry to pour salt on the old wounds there.
I saw him in the whirlpool just a couple of minutes ago. He's hurt, but go ahead.
Well, I hope you're wrong because I'm going to take over 3 receptions. Todd Heap, the over-under is 3 receptions. I'm going to say he's going to catch over 3 receptions and lay 15 cents on that bet. They're playing Philly, and Philly's one of the worst teams defending the pass. Defending the tight ends. I believe they're allowed over 5 catches a game. And Todd Heap has been getting a little bit more involved, it looks like. And I did read that supposedly he is getting more healthy. So I'm going to take over 3. And just any time I see an over-under on receptions at 3, that means I lose with 2. So with 3, I push, and I need 4 to win. So I feel my downside here, my risk, is really low with needing 3 receptions to tie.
Alex, I'm going to have one more thing before I leave it off to Scott. We really appreciate you every week. I think everybody is just enjoying it. Our listeners are, you know, it's increasing. And just your insight on every kind of prop that you give us. We just absolutely love, and just keep doing what you're doing, because we're following it, and I know you're following it, but it's a lot of fun, and it makes this show a lot of fun, and it makes the people that are listening have a lot of fun with you. So appreciate it, Alex.
Well, thanks, but you know, I'm trying to win back all the money I'm going to lose in fantasy football this year, so I got to get these props.
Well, you hit them, man. We're going to do it.
Now, Alex, thanks a lot for the Fantasy Football Players Championship this year. We hope we keep rolling, and the prognosticator is giving us three picks. Thanks a lot, Alex.
All right, take care. Bye.
And we still have Billy Wasoski with us, hanging in there for the show. Billy, you want to help a couple guys in the chat room out real quick?
Sure.
Hey, let's stick around. All right. So we've got the boys with Derek Ward or Bradshaw if they sit Jacobs. And Jacobs is probable to play, but I think he will be limited. So Jacobs is one of those guys that, man, you almost have to start him, but he's going to be limited in that game. What do you think, Billy?
Well, I mean, if it's a choice between Derek Ward and Bradshaw, I think it's a no-brainer that you have to start Ward. I mean, he's obviously the guy. If Bradshaw is out, or excuse me, if Jacobs is out, Ward will probably get 80% of the carries. And even so, even if he's not, Derek Ward's been a pretty valuable asset the last few weeks, even when Jacobs has played. He catches a lot of balls out of the backfield. He gets a lot of time running the ball, so definitely Derek Ward out of those two.
I agree with everything you said there with Derek Ward. I think the people that hung on to him are getting rewarded nicely. So, all right, well, that's the only other question I see in the chat room. Everybody else is just kind of enjoying the show. And, Billy, it was nice to have you on, man. We're rooting for you. It's $12,000 at stake this week. And, man, these are the weekends that hopefully the kids give you a break and you can just sit back and relax and enjoy the games, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Hey,
well,
Billy, good luck, man. You know,
we
really appreciate you joining us, and, you know, knock them dead this next couple weeks.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay. That was Billy Wasoski, the number one player at the National Fantasy Football Championship. We were happy to have him on Red vs. Blue, Mike. Love getting those guests on, man. I tell you, they just to get those guys on here and pick their brain, man, I hope we can learn something for some of those guys, because they win every year. They're there every single year. It's like the World Series of Poker. Those guys are continually there every single year. And when you talk about the luck skill question in fantasy football, there's definitely it leans towards more skill than luck.
Well, there's a reason, Scott, that they're that good. And, you know, it's like I've told you before. There's a reason that you're that good. When you do the work, when you do the homework, I mean, it's not going to take away from your family, whatever. It's a diversion, and that's why we're doing this show. It's a diversion, and have fun with it. You know, have fun with it, and the more you practice it, the better you get. It's just like in anything else, whether it's golf or softball or baseball or whatever it may be. The more you practice, the better you get. So, and we keep on practicing, and we're going to get good, Scott.
Well, thanks again, everybody, for showing up. We're out of time. Listen, we appreciate all of our listeners. I'm hoping the best for all of our listeners this week as they advance in the FFPC and the World Championship of Fantasy Football. It's a real important week in both those. Please do us a favor. Rate the show if you have a chance. Your feedback is greatly appreciated. And I tell you what, we are going to stay on the archive. So if you want to come back and listen to the rest of the show on the archive, feel free to come back. We're going to do our five-pack. We're going to talk a little bit of Louisville and Kentucky. And we're going to have Dr. Ditch on the air for that. And we appreciate everybody showing up. Mike, thank you for always being here and being part of the show. Wouldn't be Red versus Blue without the Blue.
Well, thank you, Scott. We're having fun with it, man. Let's keep it going.
And we're out of here. Until next week, guys, good luck in your leagues.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. Seven continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lamming, Paul Greco of Mel Nick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the fantasy football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
Wasn't bad, was it?
No, and we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. This is Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, and thanks for joining us, guys.
You've been listening to Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.
All right. Mike, we got Dr. Dish in the house. It wouldn't be Red versus Blue if we didn't take a few minutes to break down the Kentucky and Louisville games this week. Dr. Dish?
Hey,
lay it to me, Doctor. Hey,
hey,
no,
pretty
no.
Good.
I'm kind of pissed at you now, Neil.
Huh?
I'm kind of pissed at you.
Why's that?
Because I'm tired of you beating everybody and
I didn't
the
think
Louisville
I won a game. I didn't keep my favor, but I didn't think I won a game, I guess.
How you
I
doing?
I feel like I've been snake bit, boy.
Well, Mike.
Yes, sir.
The
yes.
Virginia military.
Are you talking about? No, you're talking
dude.
About the spontaneous
BMI
combustion.
Beats Kentucky 111-103 opening night in Rupp Arena.
Rupp Arena.
Adolph Rupp is rolling over in his grave.
He's rolling. He's rolling it. As a matter of fact, I wondered why I didn't sleep so well last night. Something came out my rear end. It's like Adolph Rupp saying, wait a second there. What's them boys doing?
Oh, I don't know what God you pray to, because we didn't get to mention that on last Friday's show. And, man, we're a week late.
I did pretty good by shutting it up.
You know, and then you get it handed to you. You get it handed to you 77-58 by the Tar Heels. We didn't think that
without Hansbro.
Yeah, without hands,
without a Hansbro,
Ginyard either.
It's going to be a tough year, but you know what? And I was talking to Rachel today.
Things
when we
get...
were eating lunch, I was like, you know, when the fantasy season ends, we got to keep this show going because it's going to be Red versus Blue.
Yes, it is.
And I'm going to have a very tough time with Scott and Neil.
I tell you what, though, Mike, you've got a lot
in
of
the Red Army.
You've got some good-looking guys on that team. I mean,
championship.
They've got some.
They
talent.
Suck.
Just ain't got a team.
They're terrible. I love Billy. I mean Billy.
Can't
I love
have 45 plus turnovers in a game. You know, they no matter what you do, you can't have that many turnovers in a game and beat anybody. Yeah, that's what.
No, you can't. No, you can't. Turnovers creates bad news. It's bad news. But.
They got the
I don't know. We'll be ready for you guys.
That's probably true. It's always a good game.
Yep.
We play y'all down there this year?
No, it's in Louisville.
It's in Louisville? Oh, well.
Yep.
Yeah, but we got some real rookies in the center position. But we got some veterans, too, though.
Well, we've got a nice recruiting class coming in. Mike Mara, the best high school shooter that Rick Pitino's ever seen. He said he's better than Chris Mullen.
Mm-hmm.
Better than Chris Mullen. That's a quote by Pitino. He hit 47% of his three balls last year. He's a 5'11 guard.
He's a shooter.
And he's a pure shooter. We also recruited Peyton Siva from Seattle. He's the number 28 recruit in all of high school. And we also got we landed the number 74 player in high school from Miami, Rakeem Buckles, power forward. So, you know, we've got the number 7 recruiting class. Indiana had a great recruiting class, too. It should be good for us. And Kentucky, you know,
Memphis.
They had a good class.
Hey, Scott, what about Memphis recruiting class? They are unbelievable.
Every year it seems like they get the top one, don't they? They have been.
Yeah, I mean, they are
they're getting the guys that are one and done. They're getting those players that are one and done.
Yep, and, you know, that's what's hard, and I would like to cover that. And I think we're real, Scott and Neil, when we get past the fantasy football, I would love to cover a whole show on how to recruit. Because it's got to be very difficult. Because you love that 5-star athlete that's going to come with you for 1 year.
One year
and done, I mean, there's no cohesiveness whatsoever. So then you got to find the coach or whoever
that
wants to get the player that's going to be there for 2, 3, 4 years. And it's tough. It's a very tough business. But Roy Williams, it is a business. I hate to say that in college basketball, but it is a business. Roy Williams, Coach K, they have a way to do it. So.
Well, we've got Kentucky has a bye week in college football this week, and Louisville's a 7-point underdog at home against West Virginia. Dr. Dish, can the Cards hang with West Virginia?
I don't know. I'd like to say, yeah, they can. Well, they can, but, you know, the way they've been self-destructing these past 3 weeks against teams I didn't think they would. And, I mean, I'm still impressed with their defense. I'm still impressed with young running backs. But turnovers, just bad turnovers by several, you know, turnovers and a lack of our defensive backs aren't doing that good either. So I don't know. I'm holding out hope that we can because we need one more win to become bowl eligible.
Would you be happy about it?
Oh, yes. I had a chance to go to that game tomorrow. But it's my birthday.
That's right.
Tomorrow's your birthday?
Yeah, that's
your
birthday.
Well, hell yeah. Happy birthday, Neil.
Yeah. 5 minutes in, man. Congratulations.
Well, hell yeah. Happy birthday.
And I get a U of L football game and a basketball game the same day, 5 hours apart.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm coming down, so we'll definitely get to watch those together.
Good.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, Louisville also follows up next week. They follow up with Rutgers at Rutgers,
yeah.
And those teams are just a little bit different from the year where the Big East was dominant. That was a lot of fun. Hopefully we can get back to that.
Yep.
You know, it's time for our already legendary contest where someone's going to rightfully claim. And I tell you what, the switchboard is down right now, but we're going to find out who's going to claim. They are the smartest man alive. So.
Smartest man in the world!
Neil and Rachel are down right now to Mike. Mike's one game up on Neil and Rachel, and I'm one game back from them. So I'm only two games back. Mike and Rachel, or Mike's up there in first place. I finally took the lead one game better than Neil and Rachel last week. But I tell you what, we don't stray away from the tough games. We bring the crowd the tough games. We talk about it here. We traditionally always
I lost on that Pittsburgh game on that touchdown. They didn't count. Really? That's count at all. They didn't count the touchdown.
Well, traditionally, we always pick the Louisville and Kentucky games against the spread. But this year, guys, what's the point? I mean, we both suck. Can we agree? So.
Yep.
Let's go NFL. Great games on the schedule this week. Game one, G-Men -3 at Arizona. Mike, what you got?
I've got Arizona, and Rachel's got the Giants.
All right. Neil?
I'm going to go to the Giants. I love Arizona, and I love Arizona at home to beat the Giants, but I've been picking against them every week. It's been cost me, so I'm going with the Giants.
Yep, and I'm going to take the Giants, too. I think Arizona is going to pose a serious threat, but I still think G-Men are still just too dominant. Seeing what they did to Baltimore this past week.
You got to remember, Scott, 3 points. 3 points. I'm getting 3 points.
Yep.
All right, then we've got game two, Minnesota at Jacksonville. Jacksonville is -2.5. Neil, who you got on that one?
I'm going to go with Minnesota. And hope it's a running game.
All right, and I tell you what, I'm gonna go with Jacksonville. I think it's a must win for Jacksonville. I think they still have a slim glimmer of hope to get in the playoffs. So I think they're gonna bring their best game they possibly can.
Yeah, I'm along with you, Scott. I like Jacksonville at home. They're gonna bring their best. The defense, I think they're gonna stop Adrian Peterson. And then once they stop Peterson, then there will be no semblance of a passing game whatsoever. And then MJD can have fun. So I'm going Jacksonville -2.5, and so is Rachel.
All right. Third game on the card, big game, Jets at Titans. Titans -5.5. I guess I'll just go ahead and be the first one. I got to take my J-E-T-S, Jets. Neil, Dr. Dibb,
I'm going to go with the Titans and -5.5 again.
All right.
I like the Jets.
Okay. I like the I like Tennessee minus 5.5, and I'll tell you why. Because I am looking forward on Thanksgiving Day for an undefeated team to face a winless team.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's
I
what I'm
that
looking
on
for.
The card.
Playing Detroit.
I saw that on the card, and I'll tell you what, I bet you that Detroit brings them that game. They're a Thanksgiving Day game. They're a Thanksgiving team.
Oh,
I bet they,
what a game.
Bring a good game out of that. Rachel's
taking the Jets.
All right, Rachel taking the Jets. Okay, game four, Indianapolis at San Diego, the Sunday Nighters. San Diego is a 2.5-point favorite at home. Mike, who you got?
Yeah, you know what? Indy is too inconsistent, and so is San Diego, but San Diego at home, giving up the 2.5, I'll take San Diego because I see a lot of things happening with Rivers to Vincent, and I see a lot of things happening with Rivers to LT. So I'm taking San Diego minus 2.5, and Rachel's going against me. She likes Indy plus the 2.5.
And Neil?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Indy. I think this comes down to this. You got to show what you got now. San Diego's just been too inconsistent for me.
Yep. And I like the Colts here as well. I think they've, you've got to stop Peyton Manning right now. And the defense for San Diego is really the biggest deficiency on the field will be the San Diego defense. So I'm going to go Indy. Getting 2.5. That might be huge. Monday Nighter, Game 5, Green Bay at New Orleans. New Orleans is a 2.5-point favorite. Green Bay completely shuts down the passing attack of just about everybody that they play. So if I'm Green Bay and I'm getting points, I like it. New Orleans is obviously emotionally charged when they play at home. But without a proven running game, I think I'm going to go Green Bay. So that's my pick, Green Bay. Mike, what you got?
I'm going to go I'm going New Orleans.
All right.
I'm going New Orleans, giving up 2.5, and Rachel's going against me again. Here we go. She's taking Green Bay plus 2.5.
All right. And, Doctor?
Well, I originally wanted to go with New Orleans, but I don't think Bush is going to play from everybody what I'm hearing. And if he does play, I don't know if he's – maybe he's 100%. Maybe they're waiting for this game. But without knowing, I'm going to have to go with Green Bay. They're just playing too good defensively for against the pass.
All right. Well, we've got all of our picks in. I tell you what, I am getting on my sports wagering account as we speak. I like a parlay this week. I'm going to go ahead and play it. We're going to see what this sucker pays.
I saw what you had earlier.
We're going to click parlays here, and we're just going to fill this thing up, and I want to see what this thing pays because it's a money line parlay. We're going to take the money line on Green Bay, the money line on Indianapolis, plus 115. Green Bay was plus 120. We're going to take the money line on the Jets at plus 210.
Ooh.
That's a nice actually, it's down to 205 now. We're going to take Philly plus 1. Philly is plus 1 because they don't offer a money line on that. Actually, Philly's getting 1.5 now. And then we're going to add in here, even though I went with the G-Men in our 5-pack, I like the value of this, and the line actually has moved up, although we're going to stick with ours. The line is sitting at 3 now. I'm sorry. The line is at 3 for the Giants and Arizona. No, it stayed the same. So. Arizona is plus 145, and we're going to see what this thing pays here. I'm going to play a $2 parlay.
What? What are you doing?
A $2 parlay pays $132.95. I'm going to finalize
that. I'll take half that we just got.
Okay. Well, we'll give you half that, Dr. Dish, and
okay.
That's it. Mike, that's all we got, man. Red versus Blue is week 6 is in the books.
Hey, man, that sounds good. I'm getting ready to go to Huddle House and get me some breakfast.
You all go frogging last week?
We did. We actually won our game. We had our best game of the season in the National Fantasy Football Championship after our worst game of the season. So, it was funny. 2 weeks ago, we went into it. We were 95th, and we dropped down to 145th. And then this week, we score 172. We have our best week so far. We're back up to 93rd at 7-4. So, I mean, with Lynch, Barber, and Bo, it's a good trio to have. Of course, we should have listened to everybody when we took Cotri over Bolden, but...
Hey, we got a couple things we're gonna focus on, but we're not done. We're not done.
Well, and the bottom line is we do have a chance. We need Team Welp to win in that league. So if you're listening, Team Welp, you got to come.
Team Welp. Heck yeah.
All right. Guys, this is
hey, Scott, great
Red
show. Thanks.
Blue. Red
thanks
Blue
a lot.
Sports Talk Radio. Join us next week, and we're just going to sign out because we don't have a switchboard. Talk to you guys next week.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Night, guys.